Reading from Luke 11:14 to 28. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said,
"By Beelzebul, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons."
Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them,
"Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demon by Beelzebul. Now, if I drive out demon by Beelzebul, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunders. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. 24. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, he goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, he finds the house swept and clean and put in order. Then he goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first."
As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out,
"Blessed is the mother who gave birth and nursed you."
He replied,
"Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Give them a round of applause. Wonderful. So I'm continuing this morning our series, the series I'm doing on the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is for everyone. Last time we were looking at persisting in prayer in chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Today we're looking at the subject of Jesus drives out demons. I'm on. Is it not coming through? Coming through? Yeah, okay. Wonderful. These verses, I've never heard anyone preach on in the 44 years that I've been a Christian. I wonder why. They're not easy verses to understand, are they? They're not easy verses to speak on in so many different ways. And it's not an easy subject, and you might wish by the end of this morning that I hadn't spoken on it. But I want to just go through these verses, and I want to ask you some questions today. First of all, do you believe in demons? Are demons real? Are demons around today? And our response to those questions will depend on a number of things. They will depend upon the culture that we've been brought up in. They will depend on what teaching about demons and the devil that we've been exposed to. And thirdly, whether we've had any personal encounters with the demonic. You see, if we've been brought up or educated in the Western world culture, we are likely, normally and naturally, to struggle to believe in demons. That's the reality. We will have been massively influenced, if we've been brought up in the West, we have been massively influenced by our rational, scientific culture and education. We struggle to believe anything that hasn't got strong, rational, scientific basis. And that's why so many Western people today struggle to believe in God, struggle to believe in faith, struggle to believe in miracles, struggle to believe in the Holy Spirit, because we've been educated to think rationally and scientifically and to eliminate all of these things out of the way that we think. And that includes believing in spiritual powers. It includes believing in the demonic and the reality of the devil. We've been taught to only believe what can be scientifically proven, what can be rationally evidence, and we sometimes call that the Enlightenment. The problem is the Enlightenment sounds as though it brings light, but in actual fact, it doesn't bring light spiritually in that way. We need to realize that rationalism has attacked the church in the West. It really has. It's undermined our understanding of God, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, the reliability of the Bible. It's undermined our belief in the miracles and all those sorts of things. And it's undermined our understanding of the reality of the devil, of the demonic, of the power of evil, of the reality of the spiritual power between the power of God and the power of evil, or the power of the devil. And the New Testament tells us that Jesus and his disciples delivered people from demons. Jesus taught about the devil and evil powers. Jesus taught about the spiritual battle between the powers of good and evil. And I believe that we are foolish if we think that we're more sophisticated than Jesus. More intelligent, more aware and wise than Jesus was. More rational, that we know better than Jesus and better than God's word, the Bible. You know, the biggest achievement of the devil in the West is to convince everyone that he doesn't exist. Now, that is the aim of the devil. If he can convince you that he doesn't exist, then he's won in so many ways. If you don't think the devil and demons exist, or that they have any real power, you just think that he's a harmless character dressed up in a ridiculous red costume with horns and an oversized toasting fork. And you know, no one's going to take that sort of picture very seriously, are they, in that sense? And that means that we won't be ready and prepared for the enemy attacks because of those things. This church believes in Jesus. We believe in the word of God. We believe that the devil and demons are real. Amen? And we believe that they're powerful. And we believe that each one of us needs to be full of the Holy Spirit, as Theo was encouraging us to have more of the Holy Spirit, to be more indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We believe that each one of us needs to be full of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be equipped with the whole armor of God as that we find in Ephesians 6, so that we are not to be defeated and destroyed by the spiritual powers of evil and wickedness. And so that is real, and it's so, so important, and sometimes we almost gloss over it because we don't take the devil seriously, because we don't realize how powerful the evil spiritual powers are in our society. Just turn on your televisions, folks, and even just look at the children's programs. And why are so many about evil and witchcraft and so many things rather than about good and God and goodness? Why are they all about ghouls and horrible and scary things rather than beautiful and lovely and good things? We need to realize that there is a battle that is going on in that way. It's really important as well that we don't see that demons are behind everything. You've probably met some Christians who think that as well. You know, behind every cough, you cough someone, someone's casting out the demon of the cough or whatever it may happen to be. Every illness is attributed to the devil or a demon. Every challenging circumstance, it's not my responsibility. It's that evil power that's made me do that, you know, and those sorts of things. And it stops us taking responsibility for our own sinfulness. So let's not be blaming the devil for everything that goes wrong. It's not that we need to deliver people from demons every week, but it is about being alert and sober, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We need to be alert. We need to be aware of these things. If you come from a non-Western culture and you've not been influenced by Western philosophy and rationalism, you weren't perhaps educated in the UK or in the Western schools, it's likely that you have no problem believing in the devil or demons and spiritual warfare, because you will have seen the evidence of the devil at work. You'll be familiar with the spiritual battle that rages around you and even within you. And you know how vital it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be equipped with the whole armor of God. So let's look at these verses in Luke chapter 11. And it's important to realize that the focus of these verses is not on demons, but on Jesus. And you know, that is so key to realize that. You know, some people, I'm sure that all of us have met some Christians who seem to be more focused on the devil and demons than they are on Jesus. And you know, that is never healthy, that is never right. And even in these verses in the Bible, in actual fact, although it starts with Jesus delivering a demon, the focus of the rest of these verses is actually on Jesus himself rather than on demonic powers. Our center focus must always be on Jesus and not on the demonic. So my second question is, do you believe Jesus' power comes from God? Verse 14. It says, Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. So Jesus performs this amazing miracle. He heals, or he drives out the demon, and he heals the man who was mute, and everyone is amazed. Notice there that no one doubts what they have seen Jesus do. No one claims Jesus didn't really do it. They've seen it with their own eyes. They've heard this mute man begin to speak. They were all amazed. But the problem is that created a problem for the crowd who were listening to Jesus. And they faced two alternatives. Either they accept that Jesus was equipped with God's power or had a God-like authority over demons or diseases, or the other alternative was Jesus was using the devil's power to do this. So some in the crowd said, by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. And others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. You see, they could not, some of those who were listening to Jesus, who had seen what Jesus had done, could not allow themselves to believe that Jesus was using God's power. Because if they believed that, they would have had to believe that Jesus was sent from God and that they would have to follow him. And they didn't want to do that. Beelzebub was a nickname for the devil. It literally means Lord of Flies or Lord of Dung. Well, flies and dung go together, so it's much the same thing. And so, something pretty dirty, something pretty disgusting, the Lord of Flies, the Lord of Dung. And the easiest way, you know, of avoiding the claims and power of Jesus is to ridicule or mock Jesus or dismiss him as just another madman deluded by the devil, using the devil's power. And I want to tell you that nothing has changed in 2,000 years. People today use the same arguments, don't they? People who witness answers to prayer. People who witness, have seen miracles take place in front of their eyes, often dismiss the power of God, don't they? Often dismiss the power of God. They will say, oh, it was just coincidence. It's amazing. You'll find you have a lot more coincidences when you pray than when you don't. I like to call them God instances, because God does hear and answer prayer. Praise God. Or if they don't say it's just coincidence, they will ridicule and mock God's power. They will ridicule and mock Jesus. They will use Jesus' name as a swear word. They will ridicule and mock us as Christians, because they don't want to face up to the reality that God exists and that one day they will have to give an account to him. Other people who saw Jesus driving out the demon, they want more proof of who Jesus is before they will make a decision. They ask for a sign from heaven. Hang on. They've just seen this and heard this mute man begin to speak. But no, that isn't enough. You know, it doesn't matter how many miracles some people see, they still refuse to believe, don't they? So these people, they've actually seen Jesus perform this miracle, but no, they want a sign from heaven. They want an aeroplane. No, that would be a wonderful miracle, isn't it? 2,000 years ago, if an aeroplane suddenly, they want a sign from heaven. So they want basically a banner to go across, written in Aramaic or Hebrew, you know, Jesus Christ is the Messiah of God, sent from God, believe in him. Now, I guess if, you know, an aeroplane had gone across the sky at that point, then that might have had some sort of impact. But that, of course, didn't happen because it was 2,000 years ago. And, you see, God isn't always going to give us all of those things. It was not enough for them. They refused to believe in Jesus unless they see this sign from heaven. And, you know, some people today are just the same. They may have seen God's power at work. They may have had their own prayers answered. I'm sure you've met people and they've prayed in a sticky situation. They're not actually Christians and they've prayed and God has answered their prayer. God has rescued them from maybe danger or debt or whatever it may happen to be. And they still don't acknowledge God himself. They still don't come and believe Jesus. You know, some people will always want more proof before they believe. But you know, they will never have enough proof. Because to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Lord of all, is a step of faith. It's a step of faith. You know, if you've got every proof and every evidence in front of you, it's not faith, is it? It's not faith at all. It's not belief in God at all. It's not a trust in God because everything is there before you. God doesn't have to authenticate himself to us. You know, the arrogance of us as simple human beings that we think that God has got to prove himself to us before we will believe in him. You know, the Bible says and begins, doesn't it, with God. God said, you know, God is there. He is the creator of the world. He is the creator of everything. And he calls us, rather than having to authenticate himself, he calls us simply to have faith in him, to put our belief and our faith and our trust in him. And, you know, Jesus' response to these mockers and doubters is incredibly gracious because Jesus doesn't have to justify himself or his authority. You know, if I had been Jesus in this situation, I would probably have said, you are calling me the devil. You are asking me for a sign from heaven. I'll show you a sign from heaven. You know, I'd have allowed fire to fall down from heaven and turn them into burnt toast straight away. Now, wouldn't you? You know, if someone turns around and accuses you of just a mighty miracle for God, and someone accuses you of being the devil, and then says they want more signs, I mean, that's incredible graciousness by Jesus, that he actually interacts with these people. He actually explains himself to these people. He turns these attacks into teaching opportunities in verses 17 to 19. He says, any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? Jesus is simply saying, common sense should tell you I'm not using the devil's power. And then he says in verse 19, now if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. And in those days, the Jewish priests and leaders also used to drive out demons. Obviously, it would appear that it was very rare that a mute person suddenly began to speak, because this was amazing to everyone what Jesus did. But the Jewish priests, were involved in deliverance ministry at that time. And Jesus is saying here, if you're accusing me of driving out demons using the devil's power, what power are your own priests and leaders using? They must be using the devil's power too. And then thirdly, I want to ask you another question. Do you see the finger of God at work today? Verse 20, Jesus says some very important words. He says this, "But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Wow. Those claims are really, really important. He claims that he's driven out demons using the finger of God. And Jesus is pointing directly back to Exodus 8, verses 16 to 20, to Moses and the miraculous plagues in Egypt. And what you discover is the Egyptian magicians using demonic powers, because they used demonic powers to mimic the early plagues that God brought. But they discovered when it got to the plague of gnats that the magicians using demonic powers couldn't replicate the plague of gnats. And it was the magicians who said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God. This is the finger of God at work." But Pharaoh's heart was hard and he refused to listen. And Jesus is saying to these doubters who are doubting him, the finger of God is at work through me. The God of the Exodus, the God of Moses is within me. But your hearts are hard. You are like Pharaoh. You are refusing to listen. You are refusing to believe. You're refusing to obey, just like Pharaoh. Now, I believe that God is at work in 2023, yes? There's about 20 of you. God is at work in 2023. He really is. The finger of God is at work today through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit. God's power is at work in people's lives throughout the world. It's not just here in Rock Christian Center, in our nice little church here. God's finger is at work. His power is at work throughout the world, praise God, because Jesus Christ is alive. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's just as powerful today as he was all those thousands of years ago when he walked on earth. The question is how will you respond to Jesus and the Holy Spirit today? Because God's power is at work today. Will you respond in faith, in belief, in trust in Jesus? Whatever you do, don't harden your hearts like Pharaoh did. You know, it's easy to assume that every person who comes to church is a car-carrying, born-again Christian. That's not always the case, is it? You know, we can sit in church and yet have really hard hearts, refusing to believe. Refusing to believe. Well, allow God to soften your heart today, and to put your faith and trust in an almighty God who is powerfully at work today. How will we respond to Jesus and the Holy Spirit today? Let's be open to him. Do not refuse to believe and follow Jesus. And then in verses 21 to 23, Jesus gives this little story, this little cameo. "When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. When someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder." And Jesus is simply saying in his little cameo that the power of God is far greater than demons and demonic powers. Yes, demons and demonic powers have real power. They are like a strong man, fully armed, guarding his own house. What does that tell us? It tells us that we need to take the devil seriously. The devil is not going to let go his grip on anything or anyone he possesses without a fight. It tells us that. Jesus is telling us that. But when someone stronger attacks, when the finger of God is at work, God will overpower the devil. God will disarm the devil. He will divide up the spoils for himself and for his followers. Amen? Amen. It's so good. That's why it's so good to be a disciple of Jesus. That's why it's so important that we are a Christian, that we are truly born again by the spirits. Because God will disarm the devil and he will divide up the spoil for himself and his followers. We are on the winning side, folks. If you are a Christian, you're on the winning side. You have the all-powerful Holy Spirit living within you. We are born again. If you're a born-again Christian, we are born again not because we went forward at a meeting and said we wanted Jesus to come into our life. We're born again by the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit coming into our lives that brings that. And as soon as the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, we are on the winning side. We're on the victory side. We're on our way to heaven, not hell, praise God. And that's why we celebrate when we have a baptism here. We are celebrating that baptism. We are saying that someone has crossed over from death to life. They've crossed over from being in the grip of the evil one to being free in the Spirit, freed from the guilt and weight of sin and set free to live and worship for Jesus. Praise God. That's what we are celebrating. So when someone stronger attacks, Jesus says, when the finger of God is at work, then people will be set free from the grip and the power of the evil one. Praise God that our Jesus, the Jesus we have been worshipping this morning, is more powerful than demons or any demonic spirit. Amen? The fourth question from these verses. Will you serve Jesus or the devil? Verse 23, really important verse again. Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. It's not often in a sermon that I quote Bob Dylan, but he wrote this. It may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. He's not wrong, is he? Maybe the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And Jesus is saying in this verse, if you're not with me, if you're not following and believing in me, you are against me. You are on the devil's side. There is no middle ground. There's no man's land. You're either serving the Lord or you're serving the evil one. That's not particularly good news. But that is the truth of what Jesus says. Every one of us, the whole New Testament teaches us that every one of us was in the grip of the evil one before we became a Christian. Ephesians 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, but God made you alive. Praise God. Now that is the reality of what we are. When we became a Christian, when the power of God touched our lives, when we were born again by the Spirit of God, we changed sides, folks. You change side. If you've become a Christian, you have changed sides. You went from death to life. You went from darkness to light. You went from slavery to sin to freedom from sin in Christ. And that is something to celebrate. But that should make us all the more passionate about sharing the good news of Jesus with those who are still in darkness, who are still held in the grip of the evil one. Are you serving the devil? Are you serving Jesus? Is the question today. The fifth question. Will you be continually filled with the Holy Spirit? Jesus went on to say, When an impure spirit comes out of a person, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of that person is worse than the first. Jesus is clearly not speaking against deliverance here. He's just delivered the mute man from a demon. He's driven out the demon. Jesus seems to be saying in these verses, it's vital that God's power and presence fills the vacuums left by the demon. Otherwise, more demons will return and fill the empty voids. When someone becomes a Christian, when someone is delivered from demons, it's vital that the void in their lives is filled with the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That you are empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's why Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit into his disciples. It's why the Spirit came upon believers at Pentecost. It's why there is so much emphasis in the New Testament to point about the importance of being filled and baptized and keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. To do not quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. Because if you are an empty, powerless Christian, you are very vulnerable to demonic attack. That's why we keep on emphasizing, folks, why we keep on bashing on about the importance of being filled with the Spirit. It's vitally important, because if you are an empty, powerless Christian, you're vulnerable to demonic attack. You're vulnerable to being defeated by sin. You're vulnerable to being used by the devil rather than by God. Are you struggling? And most of us do. One of the evidences of being a Christian is that you struggle with sin. And if you're not a Christian, if you're in the devil's domain, you don't really worry about sin. The more sin you get, the better. You know, you have a great, better time, so you think. But if you are really struggling with sin and you've got a keeps on defeating it. You know, the problem is so many of us say, well, we'll try harder, we'll try harder, we'll try harder, we'll try harder. But it doesn't work, does it? Because if you've got an addiction to something, the more you think about stopping, the more you think about it, the sin. And the more it drives you back there. But the answer is to be open the Spirit of God, to allow more of the Spirit to come and fill your life so you're overflowing with the Spirit, so there's no room for that sin. There's no room for evil to have a hold in your life. And that is so important. Robert Murray McShane, a really old preacher from many, many years ago, said in your struggle with sin, he says, For every sin, take 10 looks of Christ rather than looking at yourself 10 times. Because we tend to focus upon ourselves. And woe is me and our struggle with sin. But in actual fact, it's far better to look, fix your eyes on Jesus. To look at him that you would know the victory. Don't give the devil a foothold in your life. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Boy, do we need that. Do we need that in society today? Don't our young people need that if they're going to stand strong as Christians in the school environment? We need it if we're out there in Burngreave. We need it if we're working in the food bank or the Capdebt Centre or the Lighthouse. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit. Because then the fruit of the Spirit and the joy of the Spirit will flow out of our hearts and our lives to other people rather than bad attitudes. Finally, final question. Will you obey God's word? There's this little story at the end, which is rather funny, really, in some ways. Verse 27. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." And Jesus replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Do you know, Jesus is never interested in having a fan club. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that good? In our fame culture today, everything. Oh, I want to be famous. You know, every young person wants to be famous. I want to have people, you know, fan club, you know, hero worshipping me. He's not interested. Jesus is not interested in the fame game. He's not interested in adulation. He's not interested in hero worship. Jesus is not our hero to worship in that sense. Do you know he's not even interested in your worship and your praise and your adulation? He's not that interested if you were joining in with all the worship and praise and adulation this morning unless you are living in obedience to him. That is the key. Putting his words into practice. Following about and obeying Jesus as a true disciple of Jesus Christ. You know that lovely old story which we tend to teach kids and forget it's actually for adults about the man who built his house upon the sand and the man who built his house upon the rock. No, the only difference between the man who built his house on the sand and the man who built on the rock, they both heard, they're both listening to Jesus, they were both there listening to Jesus. The only difference is the man who built his house on the rock not only heard Jesus' words, but put them into practice. No, we can jump around, we can sing, and we can praise, and we can worship the Lord, and oh, it's wonderful, wonderful, but if you're not living in obedience to his words and his example of following his words, then it amounts to nothing. We're still empty inside, we're not full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is not interested in your admiration and your adulation unless you've repented of your sin, believed in him, and made him Lord and Savior of your life, and are keeping on making him Lord and Savior, keeping in step with the Spirit. That's why it's so important that we're baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. So in summary, do you believe in demons and the reality of demonic powers? Well, Jesus did. So I'm happy with that one. I'd rather follow him than modern philosophy. Do you realize that Jesus has power and authority over every evil spirit? That's bad news for demons today. And it's good news for Holy Spirit-filled Christians. Do you see the finger of God at work today? Give thanks to God for all that you see him doing in your life, in the lives of those around you, in our nation, in our world. Will you serve Jesus or the devil? Whose side are you on? Are you still held by the grip of evil in your life, or have you been set free by Jesus Christ? Jesus came to set us free. It'll be a wonderful thing. Someone here today was set free by Jesus for the first time. It'd be a wonderful thing if those who've become empty and disempowered as a Christian were refilled and baptized with the Holy Spirit so they could have that victory in their lives. Will you continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Will you walk in step with the Spirit? So that the devil will have no foothold in your life. Will you just be hearers of God's word, as you have done this morning? Or will you obey God's words and put it into practice in your life? So big questions. They're big choices for each one of us to consider and reconsider. Let's stand together, shall we? To do that, I'm going to ask Chyla and the team just to come forward. Let's just pray. Lord, we just come before you this morning. Lord, we recognize the power of evil. Lord, we recognize the power of sin and evil. Lord, that affects our own lives and our struggle to live for God in our lives. And Lord, we pray that, Lord, those of us, Lord, who have already repented and believed in you, that, Lord, you would refill us, re-empower us with your Holy Spirit, that, Lord, we may have power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to say no to sin and ungodliness in our lives, that we may live I follow you wholeheartedly. Lord, preserve us from being half-hearted Christians. Lord, so constantly battered down by the power of evil. Lord, I pray that each one of us, Lord, would be victorious Christians, living and serving and worshipping Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Lord, we pray. Lord, help us not just to hear what you are saying, but Lord, help us to put it into practice. Lord, not just to put it into practice sometime in the future, but Lord, help us to put it into practice tomorrow morning if we're at work or at the school gates or in the school classroom. Lord, wherever we may be, Lord, whatever situation we may be facing, Lord, help us to put your word into practice in our lives. And Lord, empower us by your Spirit to live according to your word, Lord, we pray. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone says, Amen. Amen.